107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. It's Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Of course, we'll talk to you. Lots to talk about this morning at 343-0106. 343-0106. And stop by FMTalk1065.com. The 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Should concealed carry permit holders that have a gun stolen out of an unlocked vehicle have their permits revoked? That was what was talked about by Mobile City leaders and law enforcement yesterday. We'll get into more on that conversation in the second half of this hour, because right now it's a Wednesday, and I get to say hello to Jeff Poore. Jeff Poore, of course, with Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and host of the Jeff Poore Radio Show every weekday afternoon from 2 to 5 on WVNN in Huntsville. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you here. So I have not had a chance to talk with you since the Mueller report, Attorney General Barr's response to the Mueller report release. And there's been, a lot of freezing cold takes and some lukewarm takes. I want your hot take on this.
I don't think it was totally unexpected. I say that
you never actually knew like which way this was going to go. I think early on you thought, well, maybe he's holding back. But I think it's the probe wound down, and as we got kind of to the end, you started seeing leaks coming out that this is going to be a nothing burger. It's going to be anticlimactic. And then that Friday before, right, they don't have any more indictments when the report is headed to the Attorney General, and then. Really what happened was on Sunday, I think it sort of got its own momentum, saying that when the line in the Barr letter said the president didn't collude with the Russians, then things really, it became a big win for the president of the United States. There's no doubt about it. Well, what's next? Here's what I tell you and your listeners to watch. Watch how fast the media go to other subjects and start talking about other things like Jesse Smollett, etc. That should tell you what you need to know about how incriminating this is or could possibly be regarding what Russia collusion.
Jeff, this was going to be the biggest story in America, regardless of when it was released. But is there something to it being released on Friday on the traditional news dump day?
Maybe. If you want to think that Robert Mueller is kind of a guy that was worried about what could happen later on, further on down the line. I don't know if he's playing Democrat or for the Republican team, but it seems to be that's the traditional time when things wind down anyway. So it's Friday afternoon. You're kind of getting all your work done, and you have this as your stopping place. And it seems to me that is just kind of maybe more of a logical stopping place.
Yeah, listen, everybody has bias. I mean, you're not a human being if you don't have bias. But I got to tell you, I think that I was wondering if he's playing for the Republican or Democrat team. Maybe. I know this is shocking to people that Mueller tried his best to do what his job was.
Right, but you know, in this team sport of politics, we're always going to be working the refs, right? So it's interesting to what I think is the most interesting thing to watch is how the left all of a sudden are the big critics of Robert Mueller, and the guys on the right are now he's a great guy. He's an outstanding individual, right?
Why do you think he left obstruction out in the air? He said they couldn't really confirm that Trump obstructed, but they couldn't say that he didn't either. At least that's according to Barr's report on the Mueller report. But I saw a poll earlier where they say 50% of Americans still believe that Trump obstructed justice.
Well, isn't it up to the Attorney General to determine obstruction of justice? I suppose the special counsel special counsel could make that claim. But my guess is, and I don't think it's I do agree with the Alan Dershowitz and those folks that he kind of wussed out by not actually saying whether this was obstruction of justice or not. But my guess is he wanted to leave it up to the Attorney General and the Department of Justice, because it would be something they would have to prosecute. There's the question. There's a bunch of questions here. First of all, if there was no underlying crime, can you still go after an obstruction of justice case? I suspect you can, but it's very problematic. And also, there are guidelines that the Department of Justice has established that you can't indict a sitting president, because the sitting president is performing his constitutional duty. If
We think obstruction of justice is firing James Comey, and that's what you're going to go after him for. I mean, it's very problematic to charge. So is it definitive whether or not that it's obstruction of justice, and could you win that court case? And I think that's why Mueller left it open like that, because there's so many variables involved.
All right. I think the key, though, is you got to get, if you are the president here, who is rightfully so taking a victory lap here, he needs to support Justice Department saying that much of the Mueller report's going to be out within a couple weeks. Of course, they got to redact things that have to be taken out, classified information and methods and all that. I get it. But I think it's, and you've got Democrats pounding, you know, that they want the they want to put the president in a full Mueller. They want to get him, you know, to release this. But it serves the president, just like having finally some clarity here that the president of the United States did not collude with a foreign entity. I think is good for the nation. I think it's good information for the president, and I would like to get everything that can be out in the open, so people can't play the game of we don't know. This is still, we probably haven't heard the other part of it. Just get it all out and get done with it, because I think it benefits the president.
I agree with that. I don't know that the entire report will benefit the president. I think there's probably some things in that report that would make the president look bad. But the underlying, the whole premise, what we've been dealing with for the last 2.5 years, that Donald Trump's campaign colluded with the Russian government, and there's no possible way he could have beaten Hillary Clinton without the federal government, without the Russian government's help, is now it's now fiction.
Well, if the Russian government was helping, I mean, that, I think that has been shown. The Russian government was helping, but he wasn't in on the help.
We don't know that. We don't know that they were helping. We know that they were meddling and interfering, but we don't know that they were helping Trump. I think that's a little bit.
Let's play a semantics game there. Disambiguate that for me. Why wouldn't, if they were leaning on the scales, and once again, I've argued this the whole time, if the Russians' job, their job as being our global enemy, and I don't care how, is to meddle in our election, as our job is, when I say us, I mean our intelligence agencies, to meddle elsewhere. It's realpolitik. So we know that they're going to meddle in our elections. If they put their thumb on the scale for, in their opinion, they're trying to help out one candidate more than the other, and like we talked about yesterday, they did the same for Bernie Sanders, those candidates can't help that the Russians are doing that. So if I think they are doing that. I think it has been shown there was Russian meddling in the election, and I've, you know, been shown that they had some preference. Their preference is for chaos, and to them, I think they chose Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders for that.
All right, first of all, Sean, find me one person. One person's all I ask that changed their vote from Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump because of something the Russian government did.
No, listen, Hillary lost it for herself. I've said it 100 times, but they were attempting.
They were attempting. They were helping.
Yeah, they were. Okay, attempting to help.
Donald Trump won the election without the Russian.
Agreed. I agree with that. They were attempting help. They wanted to help. I guess I'll put it that way.
But let me add another wrinkle to this, that I also think that they were maybe doing things for Hillary Clinton as well. There's no way we're ever going to know that.
Right. All the different, you know, they were trying to
sow division. That's the point.
Yeah, they were trying to stoke racial division and all the ways that we've seen come to fruition with Americans battling each other now.
So I would just say that the idea that Donald Trump won this election because of anything the Russians did,
I agree with you on that. But I'm saying that if they were, which they were doing, they were meddling in the election. We agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, they're meddling in the election. There are things that they had done that you could guess. We don't truly know, but you could guess. They had preference of candidates because to them, I believe, certain candidates in their mind created more division, more tumult in the country. And you can see some extra lean towards a Bernie Sanders. You can see an extra lean towards a Donald Trump. But do I think Donald Trump would have won the election without Russian interference? Yes, I do. I do. I mean, Hillary lost that election for herself. I mean, she was a bad candidate.
Well, and you know, obviously the Podesta emails and the hacking of the DNC helped Trump, I think, with a narrative, and it might have helped him get past the Billy Bush weekend with Access Hollywood. But are we
Are we absolutely sure that it was the Russians? And that's always been the question that the federal government or people, the DNC claim it is, the what 17 intelligence agencies say so. But I still
look at the number of Russians indicted.
But you could indict a ham sandwich, right?
But they're not Russian ham sandwiches.
Well, you know, I'm just saying an indictment's one thing. You get a conviction, and then we're talking differently. But what I am saying, though, is, sure, they did things to sow division, but I would also argue that I think they would have liked to have done some things that hacked into some Republican systems, but they just didn't for whatever reason or couldn't.
All right, fair enough. Can you hold on a second? We run the break and come back?
Sure.
All right, coming back, more with Jeff Poore, because we're going to talk about a couple more things out of Washington. What happens to Obamacare going forward? And Senator Doug Jones votes yesterday on the Green New Deal. How did he vote? Well, we'll tell you when we come back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. That also means it's the day we get to talk to our buddy Jeff Poore. And Jeff, of course, you can check him out every afternoon, 2 to 5 on WVNN in Huntsville, and read his work in Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer. And speaking of Lanyap, we talk about votenappies.com, and you need to make sure you're voting for your favorite Lanyap writer, and that would be this guy, Jeff Poore, in the Beltway Beat. And this year, I promise you, sir, I'm sorry I failed at the campaign as campaign manager last year, but this year you're going to win.
Okay. All right.
I'm doing my I got my oppositional research going on Gabe Tynes right now. We got some real dirt to dish on him, so get ready.
All right. Yeah.
Jeff, could you consider
like the Eastern Shore corridor is never going to go my way?
Yeah, maybe you should consider picking your vice president before you even start running, kind of like Biden's thinking of doing.
It's all you liberals over there in that Midtown. section of town that don't want to vote Jeff Poore for your favorite nappy rider.
Well, I'm going to turn it around. This year, I'm turning it around. What about that? I mean, you mentioned Biden picking a VP candidate before he's even really a presidential candidate, and Stephanie Abrams as a choice. What was your take on that?
Well, we saw this once before. Didn't we see it last cycle with Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina or something? You know,
did he do that? Okay.
It seemed like a Hail Mary because they weren't necessarily they looked like it was going to be definitely a Donald Trump a nomination, but they were trying something at the last minute. I don't know why Biden would do this, but Biden isn't exactly a guy that really thinks things through before he speaks. He's a little bit like Trump in that sense. Mm-hmm. So whether he sticks to that or not, I think right now at this point I would be surprised. With no vetting, they haven't vetted Stacey Abrams at all, and there's a lot of things you've got to do to make sure that your running mate is the one that is the right one for you.
Right, just because somebody's a new fresh face doesn't mean it's the right fresh face. And I want to kind of get into that because yesterday the vote called there, and the senators are voting on the Green New Deal. The idea, the not very well formed even ideas from most famously AOC. But yeah, they had to vote on that, and Senator Doug Jones voted how?
He voted no.
And shrugged his shoulders. What's that all about? We watched that little clip on Twitter last night. What's the story with that?
He shrugged his shoulders at Chuck Schumer for not voting president and going along with this party. But I'm confused here. If he had voted president, what would the reaction have been? But he voted no, which I think is in line with most everybody in Alabama. They think the Green New Deal is a dumb idea. But he shrugged his shoulders. And it's, you know, like I can't get too upset about that. I know that the NRSC and Senate Conservatives Fund and a lot of these groups that are already in attack mode on Doug Jones are making a big deal out of it. That's politics.
How are they making it? I guess I'm just too simple. to understand, because if you look at it just in the raw vote, he shrugs his shoulders at Schumer. Conservatives should love that he shrugged his shoulders at Schumer and voted no for the Green New Deal.
But here's the deal. They're already gearing up to damage Doug Jones as much as they can. You know who is watching Doug Jones' facial expressions down in the on the floor of the Senate during a Senate vote. Who's doing that?
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people back home. And
who is the person that is tasked with the job of watch what Doug Jones does during this vote? And then when that happens, clip that video and send it out to all the media.
Yeah, good point that there was a camera trained on this. Although it was kind of a wider shot, you had to zoom in. But yeah, you're saying
there's somebody. But the point is, there's somebody that's doing this. This is not just look at this funny clip of Doug Jones. There is somebody that is tasked with this, and they're being paid to do so. And that's fine. I get into politics, but we're kind of taking it and trying to make something out of it that I don't think is really that big of a deal.
What about as we're geared up here for Senate 2020, any undeclared names that you think will declare soon?
I think Dale Marsh will do it, I think, sometime before the end of April.
Okay.
That seems to be his timetable. The ones you need there's a few you need to watch. Obviously, Roy Moore. If Roy Moore gets in, what I hear is that Trump will push Jeff Sessions into the race because they just don't want to take the chance of a Roy Moore nomination again, because just the way Republicans have acted and screwed things up and
Do you think Jeff Sessions would heed the call of President Trump after what seemed like, from the outside, some bad blood?
They're going to have to sweeten the pot for General Sessions, I think, to get him interested. You know, he won't get his seniority. He has to start all over. But could they work out a deal with Mitch McConnell to get him something? That's a bigger question. I think you're going to really have to make it worth his while for him to go back into the Senate and not just be like a backbencher again. So that's one question. But the other things I would watch out for, there's the possibility that if Del Marsh decides not to run, Will Ainsworth, Lieutenant Governor, will get into the race. He's a blank slate. He's a guy that can run as a Tea Party guy. He's a guy that can also run as your establishment Republican, big business Republican, I think. Because behind the scenes, he's buddy-buddy with those folks. In front of everyone else, he goes to the Bama Kerry convention. He talks about Common Core. He hits all the buttons that a lot of people on the right really like. Watch. If Del Marsh does not get in, I think you're going to see a Will Ainsworth candidacy. Then, of course, the other two that you need to keep an eye on are Congressman from up in this area, Bo Brooks, and Congressman Gary Palmer. I believe one or the other will run. The Club for Growth is really pushing either one of those candidates. I'm told it's not so much Gary Palmer. He's kind of backed away from the idea. I had him on my show last week and asked him, are you thinking about running for Senate? His answer was, I'm praying about it. But I know Mo is kind of trying to keep his name in the mix and talking about it. So I think one of those two will run.
It's going to be an interesting cycle with just some of the names that you have mentioned here. All right, remind folks, they want to go to the Clearinghouse, all things Jeff Poore. Where should they go?
It is twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
All right, I got to get you back here to the coast soon. And remember, folks, vote nappies. VoteNappies.com. Favorite Landyap writer. If you don't want to do... The Russians want you to vote for other writers like Gabe Tynes. If you want to be an American, you vote for Jeff Poore. How does that sound, Jeff? You like that?
I like that, because then we can really talk about some real Russian collusion.
There you go. Coming right back. We'll take your calls at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, we're doing great here at FM Talk 106.5. You know, the end of March is now upon us, and that means deals, deals, deals at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, you know, Dalton, this is a great time. If anybody ever read a book or watched a YouTube video on how to get a great deal on a car, they probably found out that waiting until the last few days of the month can be a good time. And the reason is a lot of dealers like ourselves are trying to hit objectives, and you got incentives that run out at the end of the month, and those are really legit reasons for customers to get excited. So I just want to point everybody, Dalton, to go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com. And one example is we got 0% for 72 months financing on a lot of our vehicles, Dalton. And that absolutely is rare. And that goes away as of April 1st. And an example is you can buy a brand new Buick SUV, the Encore, for like $19,499 and also get 0%. So you're talking about don't buy a used vehicle if you're in the market. And we've also got over 11 grand off the Sierra trucks, and all those deals, Dalton, they end on Saturday, buddy, so we want people to get after it.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great day.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65, and check out the website McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, 836, our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Want to get some calls, we'll take those. And I got a lot of text from you and get some more here as well as we're talking about, one subject here, and we're asking you different places. Online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Should concealed carry permit holders that have a gun stolen out of an unlocked vehicle have their permits revoked? Right now, 63% of y'all say no, rest saying yes. And this stems off of a discussion that came up a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, the first time. And Councilman C.J. Small had suggested that maybe there would be some penalty here for somebody who had a gun stolen out of an unlocked vehicle, and it was coming off the stats. And I don't have them right in front of me, but I think it's like 80% of guns used in crimes locally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if I'm off by 10 or 20%, but I think it's 80.
No, that's exactly right from John Sharp's story. 1,200 guns approximately stolen from vehicles during 2018 in Mobile, and of those, 80% were taken from unlocked cars and trucks.
I can't remember where I set my keys, but I can remember a stat like that. Okay, so 80% used from... guns using crimes from unlocked cars. So off that stat, they said, okay, we've got to do something about this. And one of the suggestions was penalties, and it's been discussed that the penalties might have been a fine or something to that effect for people that had a gun stolen out of an unlocked vehicle. Now, we have talked about this at length. Sheriff of Mobile County, Sam Cochran, has been on, too, talking about this and saying the problem with a penalty there is it is a deterrent for people reporting their guns are stolen, and having information about stolen guns helps law enforcement make cases. I mean, he said that many times to us. At the same time, on the other side of the seesaw, you have the stat that 80% of the guns used in these crimes are stolen. So yesterday, city council meeting, C.J. Small, a councilman, suggesting again we go back to look at this and address it. Also a meeting yesterday with law enforcement in the city. You had Public Safety Director James Barber there. He said this. They are talking about ideas, what could be done to get people to keep their vehicles locked up if they have guns in them. He said this.
Maybe to the permits, pistol permits that people get to carry these guns, that there could be some sanctions as far as the suspension or revocation of that permit if they're irresponsible.
Okay, so possible revocation. They asked the man who is in charge of concealed carry permits for Mobile County, that is Sheriff Sam Cochran, about this.
I think the sheriff should have the right to suspend or revoke a permit based on someone leaving a weapon in an unlocked vehicle.
Okay, and then he also said, though, what we had just talked about, that what does this do for people reporting those guns stolen?
We've got to make sure that it doesn't become too punitive against the victim of the crime to where they don't want to report their gun being stolen to us.
All right, so there's the deal. Now, obviously, you can look at this and say, the people that own I don't know what you say. That's why we have the phone lines open at 343-0106. I will argue the easy low-hanging fruit here, that the person that has their gun, if has a concealed carry permit, has the gun in the car, they're the law abider. It's the criminal that takes it. But you can also, that's idealistically, and I get your idealistic argument, I do. At the same time, pragmatically, the idea that nobody's going to open your car door and go rifling through it if it's unlocked is naive. Depending on where you live, it's naive. So what do you do? I have, for the whole time since the PSA started running, we've run it here, talked about it. I have been all on board with an awareness campaign for people to make sure their vehicles are locked if they're at all times, let alone if a gun in there. As a information campaign, I'm all in. I'm 100% in. when it comes to penalties or possible revocation of concealed carry permits, that's where I think the water gets a little bit muddy. And I think that's where the discussion happens. I don't know anybody out there who's right-minded who doesn't want to continue to get the word out that, hey, y'all, lock up your vehicles, lock up your truck. You got a gun in there. Keep your trucks locked up. I think that's good. That's on one end. I think most people can agree that that's a good thing. The other end of the spectrum is some kind of financial penalty, a fine or mm-hmm. something like that. And in between, is it revocation of concealed carry permits? Is it lesser fines? Is it, you get three strikes and then you get a fine or something like that? I mean, where do we go?
You know, anytime a new law comes up, the best thing to do is normally look at other cities who have passed something similar and see how it's worked there.
Depends on the city, man.
Yes, it does. But, I found this article on thetrace.org, and they said that based on surveys of gun owners, and this was written back last year, they said that the actual number of firearms stolen each year nationally surpasses 350,000 a year, so more than 3.5 million stolen firearms over a 10-year period. But I can't find another city who's done something similar to this. So would we be?
I don't know if we'd be the first, but I want to answer a couple texts. Chris's text and others. He says only state can make gun laws. Absolutely true. What they're saying at the city council is they want to petition to Montgomery to have Montgomery greenlight them for making these changes. But as our texter said earlier, in the 6 o'clock hour and the 7 o'clock hour, if you start having municipalities making specific gun codes here or there, what a Byzantine system for somebody who is exercising their Second Amendment rights to navigate. If this municipality is this and this one is that, what do you do? Because legally, Montgomery would have to say, yes, you can make the change. And would they do that? Let's go to the phones. Adman, downtown or suburban Theodore. Hey, man.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, man.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, we lose him?
The cough knocked him off the air.
Listen, I've had that kind of cough lately, too. Let's go to Mike in Baldwin County. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, real quick. I really disagree with that ordinance about the gun they're trying to pass.
Yeah, it's not in yet. I want everybody to know that hadn't happened. It's a suggestion. They haven't.
When it's your personal property, your home, your car, if it's on your personal property, what gives the right for them to come in to say, hey, you had a gun in your car? How many of us have come home late or something like that, forget to lock your car, your truck, whatever the case may be, and then you go inside, you fall asleep? I really disagree with that. To me, it's opened a Pandora's door to other things. And I agree, if you're in public, hey, lock your door, you know. But still, if it's your personal property on your personal property, I don't get it. And it just seems like over and over we're being bombarded by gun laws. And it seems like the public is basically being penalized for these kids.
Right, the law-abiding
people who
citizen.
Go around and steal and those things. You know, we're sick of it. You know, it's like, God. You know,
I get it, Mike. Idealistically, I get it. I'm with you. The problem is, though, I'm going to turn around, just I have, you know, a devil and an angel or two devils on my shoulder, whatever it is, and turn around and say, I agree with you. I get it. The person is a law-abiding citizen. They're actually the victim of a crime, and now you're going to punish them for being a victim of a crime. But then again, I'll turn around and say, how horrible it is that every few days we're talking about the number of shootings and killings in our city. And if law enforcement says, hey, 80% of those are done with stolen guns, is there a fair argument to say that at least it needs to be discussed how you stem the flow of those guns to the criminals?
I get that point, but again, I keep going back to, when does it stop?
I don't know,
and
man.
It irritates the fire out of me. That you got these brats, these punks, and whatever you want to call them, that running around. They should be at home. And we can turn around and say, okay, what about the parents of these kids?
Mm-hmm.
Should they be held liable?
Yeah.
Where does it stop?
I don't know. That's a great question. Yeah. It's a great question, and that's why it's a heavy lift here on the subject that seems like maybe it's low-hanging fruit when you start off with this subject, but you get into it, and it is a lot more complex. I will argue, though, that, you know, there's, and I argue on Mike's side, that more and more gun rights are going away. I mean, once again, nobody seems to care because they don't have one. But I want to point out, it's not about having one. It's about individual liberty in our republic. It is President Trump and the ATFs and the NRA signed off on it. Bump stock ban that has been in effect 2 days now that makes somebody that has a piece of polycarbonate, doesn't shoot anything, it attaches to a rifle, that lets it fire faster than you could with the muscle pulling on your finger. Mm-hmm. It makes it fire close, if not like an automatic. Absolutely true. But this piece of hardware that people bought legally, the law, so, because I think a lot of people don't understand what just happened. The law did not grandfather in the people that already had them and said going forward, like the Clinton assault weapon ban, which was a pile of ridiculousness. It was all about aesthetic. But it only banned the sales going forward after a date. It did not retroactively make those high-capacity magazines, which anything over 10, and bayonet-fixing devices and flash suppressors and all that, did not make them illegal to possess. It made them illegal to buy going forward. This bump stock ban has made anybody in possession of a bump stock a felon. They bought it legally. They didn't destroy it. They didn't turn it in. Then no compensation from the federal government for that device. They now are in possession of something. It's a felony. And so no phones ringing. Nobody's melting down. If this would have happened, just fairly enough, this is not anti President Trump, but it is in this case. And if you're somebody who doesn't believe you can't disagree with one thing that President Trump has done, then I think you're childish in your beliefs. In this one, he's got it all wrong. He's got it all wrong because you have a situation where somebody bought something legally that's now, by possessing that legally purchased item, they are a felon. And I think it sets a bad precedent, this along with quite a few things we're looking at. All right, run to one more here, and then we'll go to the news break. We'll come right back. Bill is in T.C., Tillman's Corner. Hey, man.
Good morning to y'all.
Morning.
I'll try to make it quick. Legal and illegal people carrying guns in cars, whether they have a concealed permit or not, if their weapon is stolen out of their car, I believe that they should self-report. If they don't self-report, then when the weapon is found used in a crime, there should be some action taken against them. That's all I have to say on that. I'll let you expound upon it as required. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We'll do that when we get back. Because one of the... You say, they don't self-report. I get that. But how do you track? You can track down a gun that was purchased at a retail location to its first owner. And that, you're absolutely correct. Beyond that, what about guns that were bought in private transactions? Guns that were willed down, sold multiple times in private? Do we have the police force to do that paperwork? These, I think, are all fair questions. Coming right back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Got a website for you to check out. Maybe a shortened website, meaning that it's grove.co, not .com.
That's easy.
That should stand out to you. They dropped the M. They're so hip. And listen, we've been shopping now for a couple weeks with Grove, and they make healthier home products accessible and affordable. Over 500,000 families shopping right now at grove.co for non-toxic dish soap, plant-based skincare, tree-free bath tissue. And we got an order last week from Grove, and we got a whole bunch of great stuff. We're using the Mop Wood Floor Cleaner, the Eucalyptus Mint Shower Spray, which not only is cleaning that shower scum, it also smells pretty darn good. The Spearmint Antibacterial Bathroom Cleaner. It is being used not only in the bathroom, we've used it in the kitchen as well. And we've got a whole bunch of different cleaning items, cleaning towels, the Burt's Bees facial towels, because everybody is blowing their nose constantly right now with allergy season. Listen, the folks at Grove have the best in selection. If you're looking at saying, okay, I want to have something that still works as good as the cleaners I used before, but I want to make sure that it probably has the least amount of harmful chemicals in it for my family, they got you. They deliver natural brands like Mrs. Meyer's, Seventh Generation, Burt's Bees, and Grove brands straight to your doorstep. and you can do it now. I've got a way for you to get in, see what I'm talking about. New customers are going to get a free cleaning set with a limited edition scent when you place your first order of $20. You'll get free Mrs. Meyer's Spring Hand Soap, free Mrs. Meyer's Spring Dish Soap, free Mrs. Meyer's Spring Multi-Surface Spray. Love that stuff, too. Grove Collaborative Cleaning Caddy and the Grove Collaborative Walnut Scrubber Sponges. Try Grove now before this exclusive spring offer runs out. For a limited time, y'all can get a three-piece cleaning set from Mrs. Meyer's Spring Scents, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just when you sign up. That's it. Place an order, $20, and bam. Incredible deal. So much free stuff. Check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/mobile. That's grove.co, not .com, .co/mobile. All right, let's grab some more calls here at 343-0106. And I also want to read through the text as well. Lots of texts coming in here, and I'm trying to get to as many of them as possible. Joe says, he's talking about the earlier call, is this guy for real? It's called personal responsibility, moron. That's Joe saying it. Y'all take it up on your own time. If you're not responsible enough to take care of a weapon that can kill someone, especially a police officer, if you don't have enough respect for that weapon, then you don't deserve it. Eric says, how about making the criminals responsible? Anyone found in possession of a stolen weapon is guilty of a Class A felony, automatic 10 years in prison, no chance of parole or early release. This texter says, punishing the victims of crime, that's all this like everything else. So there you go. Let's go first to... Let's go to John in Spanish Fort. Hey, John.
Good afternoon, Sean. The Lone Progressives in Spanish Fort.
People still argue that.
Calling you today.
Okay, all right.
I have a question. As a non-firearms owner, and by the way, that was a great advertisement for the Grove. You're sounding a little green there, so be careful.
Yeah, well, I'm an environmental guy. I've said it 100 times. I like to keep clean water and clean air. I've never made any kind of anything to the contrary of that.
Just as an outsider question, again, not a firearms owner, but I respect everyone who legally owns one and so forth. I personally see the only thing that's going to change is the increased business of car window owners. If your gun is stolen and you're going to be penalized if it was unlocked, you're going to smash the window and say it was locked.
Yep. Yep.
So.
Or you're not going to report it, right? Because you don't want the penalty. You don't want to lose your concealed carry permit. You don't want to be in trouble. So, I mean, that's the problem. Law enforcement saying maybe this is the idea, but I also have them telling me sitting right here in studio that they said if it's too punitive, people won't report them, and then we won't have the information we need to solve crimes.
Right, and then that's my dog saying hello.
Hey, dogs.
And the second thing is, real quickly, as a firearms owner as you are, I have maybe an entrepreneurial spirit in me.
Okay.
Are there lock boxes for cars?
Sure. Oh, yeah, there's great. If you go to Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, not only do they have the safes for your house, they have very cool vehicle safes, and they're handprint touch safes that, they got great stuff.
Because you might be old enough to remember the old six-disc changers in the back of your car and
yep.
so forth.
Yep.
I think they can be rather unobtrusive, but I was just wondering, and again, thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
appreciate
no problem.
It.
Hey, John, appreciate your call. We'll have to pick this up on the midday show, and this is how raw and local this radio is. Let me go to my phone here, type in.
Checking the text.
Yeah, mine made me put a code in there. Okay.
What's that code?
I can't tell you. Oh. It's top secret. We will have... Stop being confirmed. We will have somebody from local law enforcement and the city on with us today in the noon hour to talk more about this.
Good.
So you got questions, get them ready. We're going to have somebody to be named shortly from local law enforcement on with us to talk about this. Maybe multiple somebodies. All right. So we'll deal. And vote online now. Online opinion poll question. You got to get your vote in so we can tally this up. Go check it out. Should concealed carry permit holders that have a gun stolen out of an unlocked vehicle have their permits revoked? Go vote right now. We'll see y'all at noon.